Well, good morning again. I'm stalling. Anyway, what I wanted to talk to y'all about is God's amazing grace. That word grace is used throughout the scriptures numerous times. Paul, in his epistles, used it 110 times. The word grace, in other words, let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. The word grace, no matter how simple and basic it is, carries with it in the scriptures two different meanings, two different applications for two different people. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, Genesis 6, 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, that grace, Noah did find grace in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, the scripture's clear, but what Noah did not find is the amazing grace that we have. He found favor with God. Moses, let's turn to Hebrews, whole Genesis, not 6, but anyway, whole Genesis, and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found that grace, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah, finding grace in God's eyes, he found that grace by doing what God had told him to do. At the time, Noah, because the reason he was chosen of God to build this ark, because he was the only man alive that was doing sacrifices, and sacrifices were required for salvation. So Noah, in other words, God bestowed this favor upon Moses and allowed him to proceed further in building an ark and thereby saving him and his whole household. And like the scripture says, at the same time, doing that act, he condemned the whole world, and they became all guilty in the eyes of God. In Genesis 19:19 says, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape through the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. In verse 18, Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. So Lot is the servant, and Lot also found grace in God's eyes. But the grace he found was favor with God. And so by finding favor with God, by doing the things that God required of him at the time, which was sacrifices also, he found favor with God, and God saved his life and spared him. In Genesis 32:5 says, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants, women servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in his sight. Again, that grace, all he was looking for was favor with God. Favor. In other words, once an act of obedience was performed, then God found favor with that person and bestowed his grace upon him. Let me get a swallow of water. But this word grace is probably one of the, in other words, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. But this word grace is taken, and all through the Bible, that definition is applied to it, finding favor with God. But that's not necessarily so. One more verse, John chapter 1, verse 6. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, And we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. There was grace in the beginning. There was grace when Jesus Christ came. I mean, there was grace for grace. There was what Jesus Christ did. He took grace and he brought it to another level. But it was still, he found favor with many. Instead of, in other words, he came and he found favor with anybody that would believe on his name. And he made them the sons of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is where the turn takes place. Because there's a turn in Scripture. And the religious world, like I said, they believe that the word grace means favor with God. Finding favor with God. Doing something. Performing something. Acting out something, and all of a sudden you have this favor with God. God is your, call God your friend. He can call you his friend because you have done something to please him, and because you please him, he finds favor with you. But that's not the case here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We see in verse 8 the same word, grace. Spelled the same, looks the same, and everything. But that word takes on a whole different nature. That word is unmerited favor. We don't deserve anything called grace. We deserve far less than that. If anything, we deserve is hell. Because that's what we were born into this world. In other words, God condemned the world 2,000 years ago. He found all men guilty. But he had a plan that was hidden in God since before the creation of the world, that he would bestow this grace upon people that didn't deserve it, didn't do anything to earn it, had never lifted a finger to even, you know, to receive it. And he just put it out there, unmerited favor. And we sit here in this time, and we are a small group, but we are a very fortunate group because, like I said, just as simple as this truth is, the world don't see it. The religious world does not see the amazing grace of God. They sing the song, but they don't see this. They believe in their heart. Somehow they've done something to deserve this grace. They didn't do anything. There was nothing they could do. Let's see. Paul, turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. And if you don't have these two words highlighted in your Bible, you need to go through your Bible, and everywhere you see these two words, mark them, highlight them, put a star by them, because something's fixing to change, and it's fixing to change for the good of us in this room, those that believe. He says, but now, right now, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Now, right before grace is another word, freely. Free is free. If you had to pay for free, it wasn't free. He's justified us freely by his grace. What are you laughing at? It's your birthday. You can do that. But anyway, we have been justified. We've been made just as if we had never sinned. It's just as if, in other words, all the knowledge of sin that happened in the Garden of Eden, all the things that Adam went through, the curse that was put on him, we are justified and made righteous in the sight of God, just as if we had never heard the story or never sinned in our life. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In other words, the curse that happened in the garden was that man was going to die. He had to die. And that this sin was put on him. And that God, Jesus Christ at Calvary, found all men guilty of sin. There was no escape. There was no way you was ever going to get away with that sin, unless you, he provided a way. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, Romans chapter 5, that word free gift is brought up five times. Romans chapter 5, five times. It's free, 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 free. Through the offense of one man, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. So we see that this grace that we have right there is a gift. It's free, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. Not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of the of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Like we said, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. By one man, this judgment came, and all men were condemned. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so as by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So this grace, like I said, it looks the same, it's spelt the same, but when it appears in Paul's writings, it's a whole different grace. This grace gives us eternal life, but we didn't have to work for eternal life. It was given to us strictly as a gift, but a gift has to be received. In other words, somebody could call me up right now and go, you got $1 million in the bank. And I could go around here shaking every one of y'all's hands and going, I got $1 million in the bank. But if I don't ever go pick up the money, I'm as broke as I was the day I told the story. The gift is there. Eternal life has already been purchased for everyone in this world. There's no man going to die and not have eternal life. The only difference is you're going to have eternal life with God or you're going to have eternal life in hell. But every man has eternal life. So this free gift is bestowed upon all those that believe in Jesus Christ, that he came, that he died, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day for our justification, made us righteous in the eyes of God, just as if we'd never sinned. Amazing grace, unbelievable grace, bestowed upon not only sinners, but his enemies. Enemies of God that are going to stand one day at the foot of God, and he's going to look at us and go, this is my amazing grace. All these sinners saved by grace. Whew, I'll fly away. Let's see. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But there it is again. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we receive God's grace, and we received it in the form of a gift. God Almighty sent his son to die on the cross at Calvary so that he could offer us give us a gift, freely give it to us. Let's see, In Romans 8, verse 38, Paul says, for I am persuaded, that's having all confidence. You couldn't get me to change my mind if you had to. In other words, Paul says he's persuaded. This is going to happen. This is facts. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So this gift is yours, and there's nothing, no one, not a thing, not even an angel from heaven can come and separate you from that gift. It's yours the day you receive it. It's yours for eternity. Whew, that's a long time. God's grace saves forever. The day you trust Jesus Christ, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Like we talked about, I'll fly away. There's a day coming when he's coming to redeem his church, the body of Christ. That's us. That's you. If you have trusted in the fact that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day. It's a simple transition. You go from being lost to being eternally sealed and saved forever by just believing in the fact that what he did at Calvary was for you, for me, for our sins. Grace is unconditional. There's nothing you can do to earn it. You could start now, and it sours a person to be able to see with the eyes of understanding that God has given you, to be able to look around in this world and see the condition that men walk around in, not knowing this truth, this simple truth. This is so simple. The nursery ought to have, children's church, grace, one word, and they can't see grace. They're over there working their fingers to the bone to try to earn favor with God. And God says you can't earn it by any merit. Grace is unconditional. Turn to Romans chapter 4. It's a beautiful verse. Now to him that worketh is this reward not of grace. If you start working for it, you don't kill the program. It stopped for you. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. If you're going to work for your salvation, you owe God something, and you better show up without one sin on your back. Because if you have one, you have them all. And if you have them all, he has no place to send you but down. But to him that worketh not one lick, but believing on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. If you're sitting here and you have salvation, you didn't do one thing to deserve it. You didn't do one thing to earn it. You can't do one thing to lose it. It's a done deal. It's a package deal. You receive that gift. That gift is yours forever. The grace of God makes us heirs of God. Turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It's a free gift. You can't perform works of righteousness for your salvation. But according to his mercy, to his love, his grace, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So by his amazing grace, we're also made heirs with him. We're going to sit with him in heaven for eternity, ruling over the heavens, because that's where we're headed. We have a purpose. We're not just sitting here going, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. He died for me. I'm saved. No, it's not like that. God saved us with a purpose. He called us with a holy calling. In other words, we have a job to do today, a job to do tomorrow, and we'll have a job to do for eternity. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says in verse 1, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, if that you is not you, and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, that ain't you. You are still exactly where the verse, in other words, we were quickened, we were made alive, but that's not you unless you've trusted in Jesus Christ. You're still dead in your trespasses and sins, whereby in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul says, in time past, ye. Well, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you're not a ye. you're still walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now working in the children of disobedience. That's you. Us that are saved are ye's. In other words, what we were exists no more. We are a new creature. Among whom, verse 3, amongst whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Well, if you're not a were, you're still a children of wrath. Because if you've not, like I said, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you can't stand up and testify that I trusted Jesus Christ, I have a Savior, I know where I'm going. When I die, it's eternally sealed. I am persuaded without a doubt that when the day comes, the moment comes, I'll be caught up and I will be singing all the way there. I'll fly away. Oh, I am flying away. Woo, this is fun. Anyway, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. Like I said, that grace is unmerited. He bestowed this upon us. Boom, there it is, freely. For by grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, a gift that you can't work for, you can't earn. What the scripture says, the day's coming that every knee shall bow, every mouth shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, that day came for me. I realized that Jesus Christ was Lord, and I testified, and I got on my knee, per se. I fell on the floor, actually. But anyway, I testified that he was Lord and Savior, and I received him that day, trusting in the fact that he had come into this world to save sinners. Well, I didn't know that at the time, but my God, that's an easy category to fall in. You know, if a man would just humble himself and admit to himself what he is a sinner. Now, if he's running on pride, if he's full of pride, he's gonna wrestle with the idea. But if a man will humble himself in front of a living God and just testify that, Lord, I need a Savior, that you came, that you died, you were buried, and rose again for my justification. Today, if you haven't done it, today is the day. Paul says today is the day of salvation. There's no other. You don't have to wait for tomorrow. You don't have to wait for this evening. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. So if, like I said, if there's nobody, anybody here or anybody listening that's never received this precious gift, never received this unmerited favor, this grace of God, that they do so today, and that they'd be able to stand with the saints and go, praise God. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. And on that note, I'd like to pray. I'd like to end in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the marvelous, precious gift of your son, Jesus Christ, and the grace that is bestowed upon us, that we can walk around and amongst men and know that you have our future in your hands, that it's sealed. We're going to always come short, but we can always know without a doubt that you are our Savior, that you have sealed us, and actually taken it to the point that you actually hid us in God, because there's nothing that can separate us from your love. We just pray all these things. We just ask, like I said, Lord, if there's anyone here that's never received that gift, that they do so today. And we just lift up your holy name, give you the honor and glory that you so much deserve. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.